Why the Public Square Needs Christianity, The Natural Family, Joyfully Lutheran, Planned Parenthood, The Lord's Supper, The Hippocratic Oath, Liberal Education versus Liberal Arts Education, Tragedy and the Church Militant. Some of your favorite guests will address these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org. Making the Case, June 7th and 8th in Chicago.
Here is the headline from the Salt Lake Tribune. Surprise, the LDS Church can be seen as more pro-choice than pro-life on abortion. Here's why. Now, before reading the story, I had assumed, and I don't know why, I had assumed that the LDS Church had official teaching that we could call staunchly pro-life, that they essentially mirrored what a, say, conservative Christian church might teach and believe about abortion and the unborn. Is that necessarily true? Joining us to talk about Mormonism and abortion, Bill McKeever. He's founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah, and author of several books, including In Their Own Words, a collection of Mormon quotations, and Mormonism 101. Bill, welcome back.
Hey, good to be with you, Todd.
So why have I, as a Christian, always assumed my entire life that Mormons are staunchly pro-life, both in their official teaching and in the kind of individual beliefs?
Well, I think your question is an excellent one, and I think it may also be answered by this. I think the confusion lies in that there have been several mixed messages over the history of Mormonism brought forth by the leaders of the LDS Church. And when I say leaders, I'm speaking specifically of the brethren. This would include the first presidency, the top three guys that run the church, as well as the Council of the Twelve, whose authority is right below the top three in the first presidency. There have been statements made by past leaders that sound very consistent, I would say, very orthodox, I would say, but at the same time, there's other statements that have been made that certainly raise a question mark. It's kind of like the same, taking your question and rewording it a little bit, a question that I hear from a lot of professing Christians. Well, I'd always assumed that the Mormon church was a Christian church. Well, why? They use language that sounds very Christian, but at the same time, when you look at Mormonism as a whole, you start to see something developing that clearly shows it outside of the parameters of the Christian faith. One of the things that got me looking into this many, many years ago, and I might mention, we have an article on our website, mrm.org/abortion, that I wrote many years ago, raising several of the issues that are in this article that was in the Salt Lake Tribune recently. And one thing you readily realize is when you go to the church handbook, and this handbook is basically designed for local leaders. They normally don't publish this for the average member to read, although I'm sure they could probably get a hold of it if they wanted to. But in this church handbook, and I have the 2010 edition, it says this under the title of murder. It says, as used here, murder refers to the deliberate and unjustified taking of human life. It requires excommunication. It does not include police or military action in the line of duty. And then it says this, abortion is not defined as murder for this purpose. Now, if you go to the Constitution, and of course we've got, you know, the Fifth Amendment, the 14th Amendment, that talks about not taking life without due process, you would think that abortion would fall under that category, because certainly none that I know of those who have been aborted ever had due process in a court of law in order to defend themselves from having their life taken from the womb. So I see some inconsistency here, and that's why I titled the article I did, Abortion and LDS Inconsistency, because there certainly is a lot of inconsistency on this. And as I said, when you have Mormon leaders saying two different things at different times, you can understand why it would be confusing. And I'm sure that a lot of professing Latter-day Saints find abortion to be abhorrent. I'm sure their leaders find it to be abhorrent, but they do allow for exceptions. And these exceptions, to me, are amazingly similar to the Republican Party exceptions, which I personally, as a Christian, I have problems with. But still, you have guys like Dallin Oaks, who is second in command right now, who has a background in law, making statements that I find to be sometimes horribly inconsistent. And so this is why you probably have a lot of the confusion and a lot of wondering, hey, wait a minute, I always thought they were pretty pro-life, but yet here comes this article, and I found the title to be quite amazing. Surprise, the LDS Church can be seen as more pro-choice and pro-life on abortion. Here's why.
Do you think that title is accurate?
I tend to think it's probably a little bit of hyperbole there, because the church really doesn't have a position of using abortion, you know, for like selecting sex or out of convenience and things like that. Even the exceptions would be more for the serious issues that I know are very difficult for any woman to go through, any couple to go through. I know these things are very trying and very difficult, and I know when talking about this subject, we need to be sensitive because it is a difficult decision. But the fact that it is difficult shows that it needs to be taken cautiously, and I would much rather err on the side of caution, and this is where I don't think the Mormon Church does. They can't even come up with a position, an official position, as to when life begins. You had some leaders say it was at conception. You had some say it was at quickening, which is a phrase to refer to when the mother feels the baby move. Well, that's not a very good judge, because the baby's moving from the very beginning almost. So just because the mother doesn't feel it doesn't give it any more or less of a status of humanness. And then you have some that actually said that it wasn't until the baby breathed its first breath. What is an individual supposed to believe on this if you're a Latter-day Saint? It becomes even difficult for them, I would imagine.
Is part of the problem which Mormon you're talking to? Because you've already pointed out the inconsistencies from the officialdom of Mormonism. Yeah. Then you have, well, like cited in the Salt Lake Tribune piece, a blogger, Angela Clayton, who blogs for By Common Consent, essentially saying, well, our policy is safe, legal, and rare, and does she speak for anyone but herself?
Well, she doesn't speak for the church, that's for sure. And this is something that I think we as Christians need to understand very clearly. The Mormon Church has a very strict and strong hierarchy of authority. The leader, who is currently Russell M. Nelson, the 17th president of the church, he speaks for the entire church. Nobody in Mormonism can speak higher than the authority that they hold. For instance, a bishop, which is probably considered by some on a local level to be a pretty relevant position, he cannot, for instance, correct a stake president who is higher than him in authority. A stake president naturally cannot correct or speak doctrine that opposes what a 70 has said in the LDS Church, and nor can a 70 contradict what a member of the Council of the Twelve has said. That's how it works in Mormonism. So while a lot of individual members may have their own personal positions on things, they cannot say, I speak for the church. This is why when you buy a lot of books written about Mormonism by members of the LDS Church, you will often find there is a disclaimer in there that they do not speak for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, because they don't. They absolutely do not. And so while you may have some of these people in this article giving their personal opinions, it would be erroneous, I think, for us as Christians to assume that they are speaking on behalf of the church, because they do not.
Bill McKeever is our guest. We're talking about Mormonism and abortion. On the other side of the break, we'll talk about what the average Mormon is supposed to believe and what they actually do believe about abortion and the unborn. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $125 to Issues, Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship, or you can make your $125 check payable to Issues, Etc. Write scholarship in the memo line and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois 62234.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry. lcms.org/deaconess.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Discover a truly Lutheran approach to education. Concordia University Chicago's Center for the Advancement of Lutheran Liberal Arts supports a vibrant, growing community of classical educators. Whether you're a teacher, administrator, parent, or homeschooler, we have the resources and contacts you need to start a child's journey into the Lutheran liberal arts. Visit cuchicago.edu/calla. That's C-A-L-L-A.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Bill McKeever is our guest. We're talking about abortion and Mormonism. He's founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah. Author of several books, including In Their Own Words, a collection of Mormon quotations. And Mormonism 101, he's also written an article at his website called Abortion and LDS Inconsistency. We'll post a link to that at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Bill, I guess I want to kind of work from the starting to the current. Did Joseph Smith, no one's going to gainsay Joseph Smith, did he have anything to say about, although abortion was not unknown, probably was not the subject it is in society at his time, but did he have anything that gives us any hint as to what he thought?
Well, what we do have is the Doctrine and Covenants, which is a part of written scripture to all Latter-day Saints. And in the Doctrine and Covenants, it does talk about not killing or doing anything like unto it. So certainly that would seem to include abortion if it comes under that category of killing, if it is in fact taking the life of the unborn. So some have argued that that would be Joseph Smith basically putting his stamp of condemnation on such a practice. But again, we've had other leaders later on that tend to question that. Although I would say probably many of them took a very firm position that abortion was wrong under all circumstances. Certainly that attitude has changed in our culture today. But then again, you have to ask, and if I was talking to a Latter-day Saint about it, and I have talked to them about it, well, are you going to let culture dictate your decisions? Or as a Latter-day Saint, are you going to allow your scripture or your prophets to dictate your decisions? I think most Latter-day Saints know the latter is the way they're supposed to go. So you might say the current position of the church would be what Russell M. Nelson teaches regarding this. And he has been very condemning on this practice. He was a medical doctor. He was a heart doctor. So you'd think he'd have some expertise in this field. But at the same time, I can't get totally excited about that because of this church handbook. He is over the whole church. He could change this handbook at any time. He could have anything changed in it. They've done it. They've done it just recently on other issues. But yet he doesn't. So I'm going to probably be correct in assuming that he goes along with page 57 in that section that I just read to you, that abortion is not defined as murder for this purpose. And again, we have to go back to what is the traditional definition of murder. It's an unjust taking of a human life without due process. And if that's the way we're going to have to look at it, then as I say in my article, we have an inconsistency there.
The Salt Lake Tribune piece does point out that after the Roe ruling in 1973, the LDS Church did issue a statement, a rather strong statement, abortion must be considered one of the most revolting and sinful practices in this day when we are witnessing the frightening evidence of permissiveness leading to sexual immorality. Do you think that you could get a statement like that out of the current leadership of the LDS Church?
I think you probably could, Todd. I don't think Nelson himself would have a problem making a statement very similar to that, because there's always those exceptions. And they would be saying in that context that, for instance, what you just read would be aside from those exceptions that we have in our handbook. And exceptions, by the way, that Gordon B. Hinckley, the 15th president of the church, 15th president of the church, basically stated in a conference message that he gave before he passed away. So obviously he was in favor of what the handbook is saying now.
The average LDS member, two questions. Do they know what their church has taught and not taught, the inconsistency there? Or do they, like a lot of Christians, simply assume, well, I'm a Mormon, I guess I'm pro-life, you know, staunchly pro-life. What do they believe?
Well, I don't find a whole lot of Latter-day Saints, at least in the ones that I've talked to on the streets and in email, that do a whole lot of reading into their own material. I find many times I'm teaching them their own material in order to show my concerns for that same material. So I think many of them are driven by the culture. I think because there have been statements condemning abortion in the past, that a Mormon would probably assume that they, in fact, are pro-life. And they would probably say that to someone as well, because I think most people, even, well, maybe not your most hardened pro-abort, would find problems with this procedure. So in that case, I would say they would probably think that they are pro-life. But again, I think we need to discuss some of these exceptions, because I think some of these exceptions are problematic. Difficult, yes, but problematic at the same time.
What do you make of the fact that, by and large, as the Salt Lake Tribune piece points out, the officialdom of Mormonism, while it has, say, for example, been fairly strong politically in, say, California on the issue of marriage, they have been somewhat acquiescent on the issue of abortion politically?
I would agree. In fact, it wasn't too terribly long ago in one of our radio broadcast, I made mention of that. You would think that given the position of the LDS Church regarding what is being aborted, and of course, according to Mormonism, they teach that all humankind are the literal offspring of God the Father, that we existed in a pre-existence, a spirit world, as spirit children of God the Father and his heavenly wife or heavenly wives, depending on what view a Mormon may have on that. But they do think that we are the product of once being a spirit child of God, quite literally. And you would think if that's what they really believe, that they would probably should be leading the forefront on this. But for all the hours that I've spent in front of abortion clinics in years past, I can't recall any Latter-day Saints being out there. But I'm not saying that there aren't Latter-day Saints that are firmly pro-life. My son is very active in pro-life Utah, and he rubs shoulders with Latter-day Saints all the time that have what I would consider to be a very evangelical view when it comes to abortion. So there are Mormons out there that find it problematic. And I'll tell you one thing. When we talk about this on our radio show, I have had Mormons write me and say that they agree with me in what I've said, and they do agree that my troublesome areas of Mormonism on this topic are very valid. So there are Mormons out there, I think, that do see problems with the position of their church. But I agree also with you. I think, at least given their view of what humans are and where they think humans came from, they should be more vocal than they have been.
Bill McKeever is founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah. He is author of several books, including In their own words, a collection of Mormon quotations and Mormonism 101. You can purchase both of those books at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Bill, thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure, Todd.
In Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., we're going to be talking the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Well, there are a lot of people talking about the Holy Spirit. Pentecost Sunday's right around the corner. What does the Bible actually teach about the third person of the Trinity? Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilken and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Emmanuel Press is a Lutheran-owned business in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in operation since 2004. That's 15 years of publishing liturgical and devotional books, 15 years of collaborating with Lutheran authors, artists, and translators. Thanks to our loyal customers and Issues Etc., we look forward to many more years of confessing and teaching the Christian faith. Visit us online at emmanuelpress.us. E-M-M-A-N-U-E-L press.us.
St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Wildwood, Missouri is a proud sponsor of Issues Etc. And if you enjoy the relevant, Christ-centered teachings presented on this program, then you should come and join us at St. Paul's on Sundays at 9 a.m., where you will hear sermons that proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins, and enjoy in-depth Bible studies to help us grow as disciples. For more information, check us out at stpaullutheranwildwood.org.